Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 56. Okay, Sheila, put it on PowerPoint for me. Bless your heart. Luke 1, chapter 26. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and the angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And in a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so highly favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord will fulfill her promises to her." And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. We humans can what if ourselves to death. What if I hadn't turned down that road on that icy night? The accident wouldn't have happened and my friend would still be alive. What if I'd gone to college? I could be earning six figures and living in a big house. What if I hadn't gone to college? I'd not have any debt. I could be earning six figures and living in a big house. What if I had never seen her across the room at the high school dance? She'd have married a rich doctor and I wouldn't be the most blessed husband in the world. What if we had had 1.93 kids like the national average instead of seven rugrats? We would never have known the joy of the talents and possibilities of the seven unique souls we brought into the world. We can what if, what if, what if. Some what ifs are what might have been, and others make us marvel at the goodness of God. Let me just ask, what if Mary said no? What if when the angel came, Mary said, no, I'm not doing it? Well, she didn't. She didn't. We know that. So it's a moot point, isn't it? Yes. But it's a good thing to consider as we consider how amazing the birth of Jesus is and what it has meant for humanity. And that's why I jumped at the idea when Keith Doner sent me the suggestion back in September. It seemed like a good time, a good idea at the time anyway. And it is. But it's not an easy question for this message or any of the other what ifs sermons that we have planned. One thing that was complicated it for me was the COVID-19 brain fog that I suffered from for, well, really the most part of 2 weeks. But even through the fog, I listened to this scripture and I read the passage over and over in various translations. It's an age-old story. Of all the Christmas passages, it's probably one of the most familiar stories. I've also preached on it no less than 35 or 40 times. So how do you make it new? Well, you listen to the Holy Spirit and think about what if. Let me clear up something right away. You can't say no. You can't say no to God. Oh, you can try. You can reject the salvation that came when Jesus offered it, the free to whosoever will may come. You can reject that. You can say no to it because God doesn't force that on anyone. But when God has a plan for humanity and he includes you in the plan, no is not an acceptable or even a possible answer. Notice when the angel appeared, he didn't leave the door open for other options. He didn't leave any kind of options for Mary. As he lays down God's message, he says, you will conceive and will give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. Now, those aren't words that would be considered requests. You will conceive and give birth to the son. The plan was already underway. And as you know, from what we had from Bill this morning, it was in the prophets ahead of time. And we know that Mary actually said, yes, yes, but we know that already. But here is the sentence that says it all. No word from God will ever fail. You can't say no to God's plan coming to fruition because no word from God will ever fail. That's the truth. And that's why it happened the way it did. But what if Jesus didn't come? What if Jesus didn't come? Let's ponder that. You see, God the Father didn't have to send Jesus. Humanity had taken their own path in the Garden of Eden, and they had wandered far from what God had laid out in creation. He had also bailed humanity out numerous times through history. Things had gotten so bad so quickly that humanity was cleansed by the flood in Genesis. But before the ground barely dried, the survivors were showing that they would still take the wrong path. Through holy history, God's patience has been tried. And now, as the angel Gabriel arrives in front of Mary, humanity had not heard from God in upwards of 400 years. There had not been any kind of revelation for 400 years. It seemed like they'd really done it this time. God had given up, or at least it seemed that way. It seemed hopeless. It seemed hopeless on this Sunday when we talked about the candle of hope. When the angel came to Mary, humanity was in the midst of hopelessness. Think about that. Now, what if God left us without hope? Well, we'd have deserved it. And 400 years of silent treatment was really looking more and more and more hopeless for humanity. Humanity was showing more and more signs of the depravity that would surely prevail if God was not at the wheel of his creation. We've seen a bit of that as we've looked at Sin City of Corinth over the past months as we've looked at 1 Corinthians. Their complete disregard for even the possibility of holiness was obvious to even the most casual observer. Humanity was hopeless without a plan. What if God didn't have a plan? Well, it's impossible for God not to have a plan. He's God. But just humor me and think about it. What if he had left us as we were? We'd be like the abandoned houses and barns that we see from time to time as we're driving down the road. It doesn't take but a few years for neglect to show up as this shutter drops off the front of the house, or that door breaks off its hinges, or the porch ceiling comes crashing in. And as the roof sags and finally collapses in on that, even a house. That's what happens when no care is provided. That's what happens when no maintenance is done. When there is no plan for care and maintenance is carried out, you just become dilapidated. You implode upon yourself. And so it would be for humanity. A lack of a plan would spell collapse for humanity. And it begs the question then, would we even be here 2,000 years later? Would we even be here? I don't think so. I think we'd be long gone. We would have imploded as a race a long time ago. Contrary to what atheists will tell you, there is a God. And he's not only keeping humanity from mutual destruction, he sent his one and only son to save humanity. So, Mary could have said no, but it wouldn't have changed anything. God didn't force it on Mary. And he's just... And he would just have found another willing participant had she said no. He would have gone somewhere else. But he knew. And Mary said yes, because God knew that she would. Our text says that God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. He knew everything about her. He knew her resume. He knew that she was extraordinary. And He knew that the man that she was engaged to was also extraordinary. They were extraordinary in that they were two obedient young people who wanted to do good, God's will. And that's why the angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." And later he assured her with, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God." Oh, to be highly favored. Well, we are. We are ABC. We are highly favored. One thing that has never changed, despite all of humanity's unfaithfulness, is that he still favored us by sending his son to a hopeless race. Mary was favored, yes, but we are too. And it's good to be reminded. We need to be reminded that we too are favored. Mary was favored, yes, but we are. People of God, you. I'm pointing at the screen. I'm pointing at ABC. You are highly favored, ABC. God didn't give up on you. He didn't give up on humanity. Of course, Mary wondered how, but she never said no. She said, "How will this be, since I'm a virgin?" And the angel gives the answer. We need to be reminded time after time after time. This is what we need to be reminded about God. No word from God will ever fail, ABC. No word from God will ever fail. And this is why the church will not fail. People talk about the church failing or the end of the church. You can't do that to God's church. That's why Christianity will not fail, because there are still Christ followers, because Christ is still king of his church. And that's why, though the wrong seems off so strong, God is the ruler yet. No word from God will ever fail, because this is our Father's world. Why should our heart be sad? The Lord is King. Let the heavens ring. Amen? Amen? That's the God we serve. No, Mary didn't say no. Instead, she said, "I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled." So what would you say? What would you say? Because Mary was just a girl. She was obedient. Mary knew that it wasn't going to be easy. She had to inform her fiance. She had to deal with the judgment and condemnation of those who had no idea about her visit from the angel Gabriel, or certainly wouldn't have believed it. She didn't go into hiding. She didn't lock herself in her room and scream no at the walls. Nope. Instead, she sang a new song. "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name." So the answer was not no. It was a jubilant joining with the God of the universe in his plan to save humanity from itself. What if Mary said no? She didn't. She didn't. She said yes. And today we learn from her example, and we celebrate her obedience, and we do the same. Amen. Amen. Let's pray.